Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are only two ways. Proverbs puts forward, there is the way of light or the way of darkness, the way that allows you to run freely without care for tripping or stumbling, or the way in darkness that makes you trip and stumble along the way. Solomon says, this is the way of life. Keep hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life, he says. For those who are seeking after this life, who are on the path of light, the darkness is expelled because the righteous upon this path are like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until it is full day. St. Paul echoes this. There are only two ways to walk. Either you are walking by the Spirit or you are led by the desires of your flesh. The desires of the flesh, he says, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. In our day, we might put some flesh on those bones. The desires of the flesh are evident in how expansive pornography is in our culture, how easily accessible it is. Homosexuality, transgenderism, and things like these. Not to mention the envy, the jealousies, the bitterness that we have for those around us. Perhaps not holding grudges, but perhaps not quite yet forgiving in full, rejoicing over when they stumble, when they fall, when things don't go right for them. These things, St. Paul says, are evident. It is evident in your flesh when you hear of the one that you do not like and something goes poorly for them and you, at least inwardly, smile. There are only two ways, though. The way of life or the way of death, the way of light or of darkness, the way of the Spirit or the way of the flesh. The way of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit, is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But our chief adversaries, our own sinful nature, the devil, the world, those things that are pit against the Spirit, those things that hate God, they would delude us into thinking there is more than two ways. That there is not just the right way, the way of life and light, the way of the Spirit, and the wrong way, but that somehow there is some middle way, some middle neutral ground. Our gospel reading tells us quite plainly this is not the case. While it is true that our Lord Jesus Christ came into the flesh to be our Savior, not just ours, but to die and make atonement for the sins of the whole world. That is to say that all the sins from all times and all places that ever existed and ever will, they have all been atoned for in the death of Jesus Christ. And God, our Father, has accepted this sacrifice and proved us that he has accepted this sacrifice by the resurrection of our Lord on the third day. This is true. And this is the great good news, the great gospel message that goes forth from the time that our Lord is raised from the dead until he returns. But there is no middle ground. There is no intermediate state. And so while all 10 lepers were cleansed from their leprosy, only one stayed with Jesus. The rest went a different way. Only one gave thanks to the one who breaks the darkness, who enlightens the path. Only one worshiped the true God. The others worshiped something else. And that is another lie, that all of those who are not gathered with us are just simply not worshiping. They are. They are just not worshiping the true God. All of those who are not gathered around the word and the sacraments, they are worshiping. They are just not worshiping Jesus. It is idolatry. It is chasing after and being led by the desires of the flesh. They do not, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, they do not recognize God, though they should, because he has made himself evident in all of creation. And they do not give thanks to him. They receive what God, our Father in heaven, gives by his fatherly divine goodness and mercy. They receive all the gifts of creation, but they do not give thanks to him for giving them. Perhaps they are grateful that there are so many wonderful and good things in the world that our God has made, but they do not recognize him as the giver, and so they worship the things instead of the one who gives them. There is no middle ground. That is the way to death. But our Lord desires life for us because he is the giver of life. He does not want us to be stumbling in the dark. He does not want us to end up in death and destruction. And so he comes into our flesh to point out there are only two ways. Those who should have known did not know. The Samaritan, he knew. Because he could see plainly from whom this gift had come. It is evident, as St. Paul says. It is evident just by looking around. It is evident by reading the scriptures. It is plain, in other words. Is your life, whether it's in your prayers or in your daily activities, is it evident that you recognize and give thanks to the one who gives these things? Or are you simply grateful for the things? Is it evident that when you sit down to eat, that you give thanks to God that God has given you these things, not just that you are grateful to be able to fill your stomachs? Is it evident in your other prayers that you are thankful to Him for all the bounties that He has given, or that you just are grateful for having stuff? In your prayers, does it look more like the Lord's Prayer, where 6 out of 7 petitions are about spiritual things, and 1 petition is about earthly, temporal things? Or is it opposite? Is it evident by how you speak to God that you are grateful and thankful for Him, not just for stuff? Is it evident in your checkbooks that church is primary? Is it evident? I don't often give homework from the pulpit, but I'm going to suggest this one thing. I would like you this week to make a list of all the things that you are thankful to God for. Everything. Everything that He has done, everything that He is to you and your life. Make the list. And then when you sit down to pray, say first, God, I thank you for this list. Say it out loud. Remind yourself of those things. And then make your requests be made known to God. St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You can only rejoice by looking at the good gifts that God has given and has wrought in your life. And they are many. Chief of which is that He has plucked you off of the path that leads to destruction and enlightened your way by His word, taken away your sins, and given you new life. To that you can also add house and home, clothing and shoes, food and drink, that He's given you your eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and still takes care of them. Make the list. Give thanks to the one who gives them, that He is good, that His steadfast love endures forever. And begin your prayers in that way. And then make your requests be made known to God. I ask you, Lord, that you would kill this sin in me, either of bitterness or of jealousy, that you would kill this sin within me of sexual immorality or whatever it may be. But first, give thanks. Remember that the Lord is good. In other words, imitate the Samaritan leper, who immediately turns and gives thanks to the one who healed him, who falls down on his face and worships God in the flesh. Worship Him not just here, but each and every day. when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed. Give him thanks and praise, all glory to God, that this one saves us by his word. And he will say to you, your faith has saved you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.